Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to get to the scripture here in a second. Over the past or last several weeks, almost a couple months now, we've been considering how it is that God created all of us to do what? To what? To shine. Come on, y'all been here. God has created us to what? Shine. That's exactly right. We're not called to just poke holes in the darkness of this world. We are called to shine brightly, that the lost in this world are won to Jesus. That's why we're to shine, that others might be drawn to Jesus. I've told you many ways that you can shine your light in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and even how to shine in the uttermost parts of the world. Church, I have told you how to shine. I've told you what to shine and where to shine, but this morning I want to tell you where you got your shine. Now, some of you aren't shining. Might be that you didn't get your shine the same place that I got my shine and Miss Amy got her shine. It might be that you've never found your shine and you don't even know what in the world pastor's talking about. What are you talking about shining? Your old bald head? No, not talking about that. Believe me, I know that from time to time, life gets hard. Anybody want to give a testimony? I know that life gets hard. We all go through spiritual slumps and have obstacles to cross, but I really believe if we could just know where our shine came from, it just might be a little harder for us to sit down on God when the lost world needs us to be standing up. Seems easy at times to just sit down and take a break on God, doesn't it? What if we got in trouble with God the way we get in trouble at work when we sit down and we take a break? You know, at work, there's designated times for break, right? There's designated times where you take lunch. Now, I heard tell the other day that these new employees came in and they thought they were, you know, some hot shots and they went to lunch. Now, they were training. Took 2 hours for lunch. Guess what? They lost their job. Does that sound funny to y'all? I mean, is that wrong? Is there anybody who owned a company and you had a trainee come in, Gary, you were hiring a new salesperson to sell forklifts and all these other, and you came in and said, all right, we're going to go to lunch. I'm going to go eat with my wife. I'll meet you back here in 30, 45 minutes. And he came back 2 hours later. Would he have a job? No. It's not unrealistic, is it? But we sit down as Christians too often on God and say, look, I'm going to take a break. Did God get, I hadn't read it. I really, has anybody read where we get a break in here? Yeah, when we die. When we're dead, we get a break. We do, and I'm not, listen, I believe everybody ought to have a vacation. You ought to have a time. But you can still serve God while you're on vacation, right? Right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have they dress like Christians. They come to church, and they smell like Christians, and they know all the Christian lingo, but they're not doing anything. Nothing. Nothing. We got to get up. The world needs to see Christians standing up. So this morning, I want to show you where you got your shine from. If you've got your shine, I don't know. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul writes, brothers, consider your calling. Now, what he says here, this, it's like he's living in the day that we're living in right now, Miss Janelle. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. Not many are wise from the human perspective. Can we relate here? It says, not many are wise from the human perspective. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise. And God has chosen, I circled every time he wrote chosen, has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen, the third time he's chosen, God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as nothing, so he might bring to something the things that are viewed as something, bring to nothing the things that are viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But from him you are in Christ Jesus, who for us became wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. Now, I want us to stop here for a second, and I want us to remember, who was it that Paul was writing this letter to? Well, it was Corinthians. He was writing it to Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. Yeah, but let's look a little closer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Well, let's start at 1. Start at verse 1. Paul, called in as apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and our brother Sosthenes, to God's church at Corinth. To God's church at Corinth. To those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think we could insert ourselves in here? Are we a part of the church? Yes. If you are a blood-bought child of the King, Jesus Christ, you're a part of the church. So what we're reading today applies to who? Us. It was written and recorded that who may read it? Us. And we might apply it as well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. Lord, we pray that you would wake us and shake us. Pray that you'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. God, help us not to fall asleep. Help us to be attentive to your word, not to me, but to your word. Help us to feel your presence, Lord. Help us to know that you're here. Speak to our hearts and show us what we need to do and how we need to be doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, first question is where did your shine come from? Now, as I'm preaching this, I'm going to be preaching it from my perspective, but listen, you've got to be looking at this from your perspective. First of all, are you shining for Jesus? Do you have a shine? Because if you're not shining, that means that you don't have a shine and you're not shining for Jesus. You might not have ever had a shine, and we need to go back all the way to your salvation. Scripture says, if any man, that's anybody, that's you, I mean, that's everybody. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Does that mean you're perfect? Absolutely not. But listen, if you are in Christ, that means that you are changed and God's going to do something with you. He's created you to shine. And if you're not shining, something's wrong. And it might be that you don't belong to the same Jesus that I do. Well, Brother Kyle, you're a preacher. That's exactly right. But you're a part of the priesthood of believers. Quiet. You are a part of the priesthood of believers. He created you for the same purpose he created me, and that's to shine in this dark world that people might know him. So, listen, look at your shine as I'm preaching through this, and really Paul's preaching, and I'm just saying what Paul said. The first thing he said to do was this. He said in verse 26, look at verse 26, brothers, he identifies us as family. We're family. He said, brothers, consider Brother Kyle's calling. Tony, is that what that said? Consider Bill's calling. Consider Gary's calling. Consider Sonia's calling. What does this scripture say? Consider whose? Yours. Consider your calling. As we look at our shine, Paul says, consider your calling. Now, hindsight, y'all stay with me. Hindsight is what? 2020. I mean, it's optically perfect. Perfect. You can see what, I mean, I wish that I would have done this. I wish I'd have known this. Listen, hindsight is 2020. Foresight is nearly blind at times, isn't it? It's like you're walking in the fog. But as you look backwards, you see that God was always with you, was he not? Always with you, always had, you know, the footprints in the sand. I carried you when there was only one foot. Yeah, that's true. Hindsight is 2020. Foresight is not so clear. As I look back at my childhood, nobody in my family ever went to church. Nobody. But something was strange. I mean, I always had a desire to go to church, even though I didn't. I didn't even know what church was, didn't know that church related to Jesus. I wanted to go to church. And it didn't matter what church. It was the closest church because that's where I could get a ride to. Or it was the neighbor's church, even though it might have been doctrinally and theologically a little off base. I just wanted to be in church. I can't explain it. I couldn't then. I can now. You see, I had a calling. And God was preparing me for that calling that I knew nothing about. He was preparing me. He was basting me, kind of like, you know, the turkeys that y'all used to put in the ovens. Women used to cook. You didn't used to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy a turkey on Thanksgiving. Jason, that's funny, isn't it, man? Y'all do that in Chicago, too? Hey, listen, just preparing. You were basting the turkey. God was doing that in my life. Now, it took till I was 30 years old for me to answer the calling, but that wasn't God's intent. As I look back, because hindsight is what? 2020, I can see where God really and truly, I as soon as I graduated from high school, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say this. Amy and I should have gotten married as soon as I got out of high school. It would have, so many problems would have been solved if she would have just given in and just married me sooner. Really. And I would have gone to school right then. It is. Thank you, Dan. I'll give you a dollar later. But I can see 2020 backwards that God was preparing me to be who I am now. I did not have the foresight to say, yeah, God's going to take me to that hot, humid climate in Savannah, Georgia, when you love snow skiing so much, and he's going to make you a preacher. I know you're scared to death to stand in front of crowds, and you really don't like to read in front of people, but God's going to do that. I would have said, no. Paul says, consider your calling. Your calling. I don't know what your calling is, but as I look back, I know what mine was, and I know at 30 years old, when I was 30 years old and I was walking through the foundry and God finally got me to a place of humility where I was the nastiest part of the foundry, and he says, are you ready to listen to me now? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, listen, you don't have to wait till God brings you to the lowest point of humility. You can surrender now. You can consider your calling now. You see, when I was a child, I didn't know what my calling was. But when I was 19 years old and I was asked to preach Youth Sunday, and I got up there and preached, I knew that that's where I was supposed to be. And you know what I did? What a lot of preachers do. I ran just as far and as fast as the other direction as I possibly could, and God pursued me all along the way. I had a calling, and God was not going to let me forget that calling. You have a calling. Paul is telling the people of Corinthians, listen, consider your calling. If you're ever going to shine for God, you've got to consider your calling. Every single person who has accepted the free gift of salvation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have a job. You need to consider your calling. You need to look at what you're gifted at doing and consider what it is that God is calling you to do. Secondly, as we consider our calling, listen, wouldn't it be funny, and we used to do this when we were kids. Well, I did. I don't know if y'all did or not. If I picked up the phone and I called Bill, and when Bill answered, hey, preacher, what's going on? I never said a word. I just sat there and just see how long he stays on the line. Don't say anything to him. Right? And then when he hung up, I call him back. And I just keep calling and don't say, Bill, I'm not going to do that to you, brother. Watch, my phone's going to butt dial him. And he hangs up again. The third time, Steve, I call him again. And I just don't say anything. I mean, that's crazy, right? If I call somebody, it's because I want to talk to you for some reason. Usually when I call Ricky Tire generally knows that what's going on, Ricky. Yeah, something's going on with the car. And I ask Ricky, you got a part for so-and-so? Ricky knows that. Now, I'm gonna trick him one time. I'm just going to call him, Ricky, how you doing? Preacher, what you need? No, I just want to know how you doing, brother. Dan, when I call Dan sees my phone and I'm sure there's times where it just did because he knows something's wrong. I've already talked to Ricky, and I can't fix it myself. So, Dan, listen, if I call, there's a reason. There is a reason God has called you. There's a reason. He didn't just call you out of your lostness for no reason. Well, I'm just going to call him. Hey, I'm just going to call him. Just to look at you. Boy, I'm glad I called Jennifer. For no reason. No. There's a reason that... Y'all saw that, didn't you? There's a reason that God has called all of us. Can I encourage each of you this morning? If you're alive this morning, you have a purpose for being alive. God has a plan for you. But it gets better, church. It gets better. How, Brother Kyle, can it get? It gets better. Paul writes something that each of us ought to know. He says, not many are wise from a human perspective. I know that. I know that. Not many are powerful. Not many are noble from birth, being princes, kings. How many of you, now, really, think about this before you raise your hand. How many of you feel like you're a wise person, just filled with the world's wisdom? You're very wise. People seek you out for wisdom. Okay, good. How many of you feel like you're powerful? You're a very influential person. When decisions need to be made, you're like E.F. Hutton. Man, people call my house all the time. You're a powerful person. I've been with Glenn. Your phone rings off the hook, man. You must be one of these. Well, let me ask this. How many of you were born into nobility? You're one day going to inherit England or Ireland. You are secretly incognito in the farms at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church because you're on the DL. You're wanting to hide because it's like one of those TV movies. You got billions of dollars, but you want to find a real woman who loves you. Collins, that you? I mean, you want sincerity. You don't want her trying to get your money. Reagan, see, might be a prince sitting beside you. So we don't have anybody, there's no nobles here this morning. Paul writes this. Instead of those people, instead of God using those people, the wise and the influential and nobles, Paul writes, God instead has chosen, that means he has hand-picked. The world's foolish things to shame the wise. When I read this, Mark, in my office, I got excited because you know why? That's me. God handpicked me, foolish, to confound the wise. Really. And I didn't really see it in times past, but in the future, but I can see it in times past. Really, there was a big debate going on in the convention and when I was at school about this Calvinism thing, and Tony, I'm sure it was there when you were there, you were in school too, and you'd have these these guys who were seemingly intellectuals, and they would come up to you, and they always called you brother, right? Brother, are you a Calvinist or an Arminianist? And I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but which side do you fall on? And I had studied just enough, Mr. Janelle, that I knew that really, I mean, I kind of fell on both sides, but as I looked at 1 Corinthians, I understood that I'm not to tag my toe with anybody, and I looked at him, I said, guys, Paul's kind of, he's figured this thing out. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I guess I'm not as smart as you, but listen to me, I'm a Christian, that's all God's called me to be. I don't identify with any man but Jesus Christ. You know what God did? He used foolish little me to confound the wise. Well, this is what they'd say, Tony. Just keep studying and you'll find where you're supposed to be. Did you ever hear that? You're just like, man, shut up. Please, no. Shh. God does that. He uses the, I'm just a foolish student. You know what I love to do when people ask me scriptural questions? Because they look for the pastor to know all the answers. Ooh, he knows. No, I don't. Mr. Taylor, I like to do this when people ask me. I like to step back, and if I don't know the answer and if I can't point them to Scripture, I'm not going to tell them what my opinion is. I say, listen, let me study it, and I'll get back to you. Now, listen, if I don't get right back to you, make sure you call me and ask me because I've forgotten. Not only does he not know the answer, but he forgets. That's me, Mr. Foolish. I'm Mr. Foolish. But listen, God uses the foolishness things of this world to confound the wise. That's what Paul's talking about here. I'm not perfect. Gary, y'all did not hire a perfect pastor. Mr. Frank, you're hurt, aren't you? Sonia, you didn't know, did you? Listen, God has also chosen the weak things to shame the strong. He's chosen the weak things to shame the strong. Y'all know, it's been a while since I've been to the gym. It has. It's been a while. I did some push-ups. But it's been a while since I sat there and I sat there and I remember back in the day, I was on a decline bench and I pushed that 325 one time. Then I took a break. You know what this scripture means? Look at Caleb. Look at that arm right there. It's like a horse leg. Calm down, Miss Dorothy. Look at Miss Dorothy. Hey, listen. You can be weak and God's still going to use you. Now, it's not what I'm talking about with me and Caleb. It's not. Listen. In your greatest weakness, God can use you. In your greatest weakness, God can use you. You see, y'all remember I told you I was running from God when I felt his call. I'll never forget, my grandfather was in the hospital, very proud man, and they had to put him in the section where you're, I don't know, he didn't have all his facilities, y'all know what I'm talking about, and they had to move him upstairs. Well, you had to walk down this long corridor to get to this facility. And I remember being upset because my grandfather was there. And as I walked down this long corridor, I realized where I was. I was in the chemo unit. And as I walked down the hall, I could hear something. And as I walked down the hall, it became more and more apparent to me what I was hearing. I walked past this man's door, and he had the door open. And he was singing, "Victory in Jesus," while he was having chemicals pumped into his body. Brother Gary, God uses the weak to confound the strong. Because when I walk by and I'm seeing this man laying on no hair, he looked weak and anemic, white and peaked, but God was using that vessel to encourage a vessel that didn't even know he was a vessel yet. God uses the weak to confound the strong. And I was confounded. And I was drawn to this Jesus. Listen, he does something else. God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things viewed as nothing so that he might bring nothing the things that are viewed as something. That's me again. That's three times in a row. God, I mean, just nailed me. Well, what are you talking about? I've always been a nothing. That was one of my favorite things my dad told me as I was growing up, is, boy, you are good for nothing. When you grow up, you ain't going to have nothing. You ain't going to be nothing because you're good for nothing. And for the longest time, I believed that. I really did. I bought into it. Until one day, I realized that Jesus had a job for me. Consider your calling. And I started walking towards that calling. And as I walked towards that calling, it's amazing how my value increased. Dads, listen to me. Please listen to me. And I need to take my own medicine. When my dad died, several of his friends came up to me, his bar buddies, and told me this. They said, your daddy was so proud of you. I said, really? And one guy that used to grow up in our neighborhood, he grew up in my neighborhood, he walked up to me and with tears in his eyes, Bill, he said, your daddy was so proud of you. And this was my response. I'm glad he told you because he never told me. Church, listen, we need to be proud no matter what. It's hard, isn't it? God's proud of us, but listen, He's created you to shine. He has taken the insignificant and despised things that are viewed in this world, and He's made something out of nothing to confound the things, the people who think they're somebody, by the people who are nobodies. Did y'all get that? God's amazing. Well, you might be asking yourself, why did God do all of this? Why in the world would God do this way? Look at verse 29. So that no one can boast in His presence. God did all that He's done with us and with you and what He wants to do with you, so that when anybody stands in His presence, and you all will, and none of us can boast and say, I did it myself. No, you didn't. Hey, the wise were made foolish from the foolish. Y'all with me? The wise were made foolish from the foolish. The weak were made strong from their weakness. And the despised were used to humble those who were cherished. Listen, who is there left to boast about themselves? Who is it? Listen, when God chooses and uses, everything and everybody points their finger back to God and says, He gets credit for it all. But it gets better. It does. Are y'all ready for it to get better? Here we go. Just about done. I didn't get an amen. Just about done. How in the world could it get any better? Look with me for a second at verse 30. Verse 30. Come on, eyes. Come on. I see. Okay. There you are. But from Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who for us became wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In order, he did all this, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. How can it get any better, Brother Kyle? Well, let's see. When God chooses you, you become the body of Christ. When God chooses you, the insignificant, the weak, the foolish, when He chooses you, you become a part of the body of Christ. We are united with the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Kyle, can you paint a picture of what that looks like? I really can't. And as I look forward, I can't really see what's taking place. But as I look back, I can see when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior and the front seat of a Toyota Corolla and the mountains of North Carolina in 1989. Listen, God has done some amazing things in my life. He has made a different person. I don't want to go back to that person. Don't like that person. Every now and then he tries to come out, but I've up to this point been able to suppress him. Hey, listen, I don't want to go back to that person. No way, no how. God, when God chooses us, He gives us the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, listen, it gets better. When the Holy Spirit enters us, He immediately starts cleaning house. You mean when Jesus came into you, He started cleaning house? Yeah. The Holy Spirit started sweeping things up and saying, don't you look at that anymore. You can't say that. Things that you used to know, you can't say that anymore. You can't know. You can't go there anymore. You belong to me, man. Come on. You can't do that. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does for you? It gets better. Church, do you know what this means? God has chosen us, the foolish, weak, and peasants. He chose the despised and insignificant things of this world. And guess what He made us into be? Nobility. Nobility. Gary, listen, we're weak, we're foolish, we're despised, we're insignificant, we're nothing. But God has made us nobility. We are heirs to the throne. We are heirs to the kingdom. Every single one of us. When I ask anybody in here of noble descent, nobody raised your hand. Listen, is there anybody in here amongst us who is among noble descent? Yes! Yes, and it's all because of what Jesus did for us. Listen, I watched all those princes and princesses when they got married. I'll never forget Diana and whatever, the guy who cheated on her and was Prince Charles and has another woman now. Hey, listen, I watched that marriage. It was phenomenal. Ours was nothing like that. There was not a horse in the parade. But church, listen to me. I'm not a part of that nobility, but I am all about the nobility in heaven. We are heirs to the kingdom of God, and that ought to excite us. That ought to incite us. That ought to make us want to find our calling even greater. Man, I'm an heir to the throne of Christ. I don't know what that means, but I know it's good. It's good. Listen, why did God do such a thing as this? Hey, Mr. Hallman, he gave us a calling. He called the foolish people. He called the weak, the insignificant. Why in the world would Jesus and God, why would they do this? So that we could shine for them. So that we could shine for them. So that we would shine for Him. And when we're shining bright for Him, we take no credit. We just smile and point to Him and say, God did it all. God did it all. Every bit of it. I can take credit for absolutely nothing. God did it all. Hey, listen, I had a great idea for ministry this past week, but guess what? It's not my idea. Well, yeah, it is, Brother Kyle. God spoke to you. Yeah, but God spoke to me. It's not my idea. It's His idea. I can take absolutely no credit for it, Miss Desi. Why? Because everything that's in my mind, it came from God. Unless it came from Amy. Church, listen. Are you shining for Jesus? What have you done for him today? Today, well, I've gone to church. Church doesn't count. What have you done for him today? What are you going to do for him today? Don't you see everything that he has done to make you his beautiful possession? Church, you are the apple of God's eye. You are the apple of God's eye. What are you doing for him? Are you ready to shine now? That all the world may see the wondrous love that God has for all of us? Are you ready? Now that you know where your shine came from and why you have your shine, are you ready? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you right now during this time of invitation. And God, we ask for any and all who want to come and just kneel before this altar, come. Just spend time with you. Lord, if there's somebody in this service this morning who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that you would give them the strength to come down and let me show them what the Bible says. Not Baptist, let me show them what the Bible says each person who's ever lived must do to have eternal life and go to heaven and be with you. Lord, we just dedicate this time of invitation to you. In Jesus' name, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? This altar's open for you.